Kesher HaTorah B'Kadosh Baruch Hu Zeh Yisod Avodas HaKodesh Shel Anshei HaSegula. Tying up together into one knot, into one bond, the Torah and God, that is the basis of the Avoda of the greatest tzaddikim, meaning the highest level of learning Torah is taking everything you learn and tying it up with God. What does that mean? He explains, Harenu oskim b'halachos b'nituchehen u'b'fratehen. What are we doing when we sit down to learn? We're learning a halacha. We're analyzing something. Most of the time, 90% of the day, we're learning pratim, another detail and another detail and another avnazikin and another svara, another rishon, another achron. Yodim anu biderech klal. We know in a very general way, shekol divrei Torah hinam orchos Hashem, that every single word of Torah is somehow an expression of God's goodness, of God's ways, of his will, something that He wants from the world. Novim mikora hachaim el yonim. And we also know in a very general way that the Torah is flowing from a very high place, something that's way above our world. Amnam, however, baneshama halochaya hi ha'ariga ha'elokit. But deep within us we have a neshama that wants a connection with God. It wants a relationship. Our neshama is constantly 24/7 looking for ways to connect with God. Huge yisod in Rav Kook. The neshama is not just satisfied with obeying God. You can go through your life and be a 100% kosher Jew, but your neshama is not going to be happy. Mimela, you're not going to be happy. Because when your neshama is sad, and your neshama feels a void, you also feel it. You can't separate you from your neshama. And if your neshama feels distant from its creator, if it feels separated from its beloved, you could be doing the will of God 100% of the time. You're going to feel that something is lacking. You're going to feel like, I can't do this. I can't continue this way. Mashallah, davar dome. Can you imagine a husband who writes a letter to his wife every morning? This is what I want you to get done today. So no matter how much the wife loves the husband, it's going to last for a week, for 2 weeks, for a month. Even a very dedicated wife at some point is going to say, but this is not why I entered this relationship. I want a connection with you. I want to meet. I want to speak. I want to interact. So Rav Kook has a big chiddush that this is a recurring theme in his writings, that man has a nature about him that wants a relationship with God. Now, mimela, how does that fact affect us? That has a huge impact on our lives, because that means that you could be a 100% practicing Jew, you could be totally observant, but you're constantly going to be looking for more. There's going to be something pushing you inside for more. I want more. I want the Ribbono Shel'Olam himself. Now the question is, where are you going to find him? How are you going to respond to that thirst of the neshama? The neshama doesn't just want to listen to God and obey God. Look at those words again. This really sums it all up. Halo chayai ha'ariga ha'elokit. Omnam ba'neshama halo chayai ha'ariga ha'elokit. There's a longing for God that's alive in the neshama. It's kicking. It's constantly kicking. And that neshama longs for God. It doesn't just have a longing to obey God. That neshama wants to connect with God. Noam Hashem mifa'em bekirba. The neshama also has a heartbeat. Mifa'em means to have a beat. The neshama has a heartbeat. And that heartbeat of the neshama is constantly driving it to connect with Noam Hashem. Obviously a reference to the Pasuk, Lachzos B'Noam Hashem. This is David HaMelech. The Rav Kook is taking this from David. Acha Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem. Now notice what it says. It doesn't say Acha Sha'alti Me'ez Hashem. I want to perform your Torah and Mitzvah. Isn't that fascinating? David HaMelech doesn't say, there's one thing I want in life. I just want to be a frum yid. I just want to do the will of God. He doesn't say that. He says, Lachzos B'Noam Hashem Olamakir Be'chalo. I want to behold the beauty of God. I want that which is beyond the mitzvos. I want the mitzvos for me to be a medium through which I attain God. Really what the neshama is asking is to grasp God Himself. The kirvas elokim latov mikol machmadim. You could take your neshama out to Papagayos. You can take him for a shawarma. It's going to be, the neshama is going to be like, okay, I'll sit here with you. You know, like I don't mind. Like I have patience, but you better make sure that this is not what life is all about. And your neshama is going to be, your neshama will be patient if you have to go out and earn a buck or two to support a family. But your neshama at one point is going to say, "Hey, what about me? For me, kirvas Elokim is the greatest, the sweetest pleasure of all the pleasures." The neshama is like, "You want to give something to your goof? At least give me equal, or if not more, attention." So Rav Kook says, what is the ta'anug of the neshama? What is the neshama's, pardon me, papagayos? You understand? Where does the neshama get its all it can eat? Where does it find God? Va'osa ha'ariga ha'adina himurgeshas gam balev ha'chayim. And that drive, that thirst of the neshama for God Himself, that thirst is something that's so strong, it's so present, that it's actually, you're able to feel that belev hachayim in your physical life. In other words, you are going to feel physically deprived. If all you have in life is physical pleasures, and you're not searching to quench that spiritual thirst, you're going to feel a void, not just in a very spiritual, detached way in your life. It's going to be real. You're going to walk around depressed. You're going to walk around feeling that life is empty. And you may even start to think, what am I doing in this world? Rav Soloveitchik has an amazing essay. I think I saw it quoted in one of Rav Schechter's Svarim, where Rav Soloveitchik has an unbelievable chiddush. He says, you know, 300, 400, or 500 years ago, you didn't have psychologists. People that, like, mental instability and all the mental issues that we have today, they didn't have those like 500, 600, 700 years ago. The last 200, 300 years, that's when that whole tchum, the whole profession, the whole chachma of psychology started to get off the ground and gain momentum. So Rav Soloveitchik, why? Like, what has changed about humanity? Because that's when humanity began to become secular. That's when people started to go crazy. Because as long as we had God, so we felt anchored, the neshama was able to feel healthy. Some of us had a God that was perverted. You know, Christianity, you know, it's not founded on anything. But at least the neshama was given prayer. So, okay, so it was praying to idols. It was praying to Avodah Zarah. But at least the neshama had an out. And that created emotional stability. But when we have a person who's just living a physical life, and all life is about is list the pleasures in your head, the top 10 pleasures that people are looking for. And if that's all that life is about, your thirst of your neshama is going to be felt, belev hachayim, it's going to be real, it's going to be tangible. You're going to be going to professionals asking for help. It's that real. It's going to be so felt in you that you're going to be like, I need help. And you're going to be like, what is life about? And like, what? And you may even begin to ask those difficult questions, like, why am I even here? You understand? I don't have to go into details. Rav Kook says the neshama is not a sucker. If the neshama is being deprived of something, it's going to make sure that you feel it, and it's going to manifest itself in a real feeling of emptiness. And Rav Kook says it's a pasuk, libi uvesari Yirananu el elcha. My heart and my flesh will praise out to God. In other words, David HaMelech says in Tehillim, when I finally find you, God, not just my heart is going to praise you, my basar is going to praise you. Isn't that an unbelievable lashon? You ever think about that? This is one of the Shabbos Miros. Libi uvisari. What does Rav Kook see in that double lashon? Libi uvisari are not synonyms. They're actually opposites. The lev, this is the spiritual side of man. The basar, what's the basar doing there praising God? Says Rav Kook, when you find God, it's not just satisfying spiritually. There's something gashmi that's satisfying. You're going to feel that life is worth living. You're going to feel fulfilled. You're going to wake up in the morning excited for your day. What can I tell you? When I get up in the morning and I feel and I think about the shiur I'm going to give that day and I start processing it in my mind, it's exciting. I come to yeshiva. I'm ready to go. I can't imagine. Maybe I'm wrong, but I can't imagine that the accountants and the lawyers and the doctors of this world are as excited. Maybe I'm wrong. There's something physical there. Like I'm excited for life. What can I tell you? This is Libi Uvisari Yirananu El El Chai. When you're involved in spirituality, there's something very gashmi there. That you want to celebrate life. What does this have to do with Limud HaTorah? Now he's going to tie it into Limud HaTorah. Ulaharim is malas hahargasha haatzilis hatmuna gam bekerev kol chag vehatorah ufrateha kulam laosa hamida shel hargasha yona koleles to raise the limud Torah experience from just an intellectual pursuit of understanding the details and lifting that up, elevating that to a very lofty feeling, to actually create that feeling of fulfillment, that Noam Elyon, that unbelievable pleasantness in every word of Limud HaTorah, pu'ula zu, it is this connection, this action of connecting, of unifying, haba mitoch masas nefesh adira, he shayeches lekishra shal Torah b'kadosh baruch hu. This is the avoda. This is the highest level of Torah learning. To take what the mind is doing, and connect it to what the neshama needs. Dehainu lekesher Torah delesata hapratis, in Torah deleela haklalis. Meaning, we have to learn how to connect our lower Torah, the Torah of the details, to the Torah de la'ela, to the above Torah, haklalis, which is the general one. It gets a little Kabbalistic at the end. Let's try to explain this. The Torah that I learned, that I sit down and I learn. What am I saying? I'm seeing a whole series of details. I'm seeing if this case comes up, Reuven wins the court case. If this case, the Shimon. And it's the Mazik and the Nizak and the Shomrim and the Hilchos Shabbos and Hilchos Kashrus. Rav Kook says there's actually a way to take that experience and raise it up to an experience of Torah de Le'ela, that in every single detail I'm learning, I'm actually connecting with the Ratzon Hashem that is within there. I'm actually feeling that there's a metzias, a godly metzias, that is being clothed, that is almost being disguised in every sugya. And by doing that, that's where the neshama feels its fulfillment. If you don't do that, Rav Kook is warning us in this paragraph, if you don't do it, if all Torah is for you is the dry facts, that means your neshama is not finding God in there. It's going to continue feeling that emptiness. There's a huge chiddush in here. That if the neshama isn't getting what it wants from Limud HaTorah, then Limud HaTorah is speaking just to the lower side of us. It's just information. I'm just gaining all this information. It's just like a subject in school. And the neshama isn't feeling fulfilled from it. Now, if the neshama isn't feeling fulfilled, it's like asking someone to be in a relationship without any dialogue, without any love, without any experience. How long will a person be able to continue that limud haTorah experience? How long is it going to last? At some point, you're going to feel like this is not what I need in life. And the limud haTorah experience, if it's emptied of the neshama, if it's emptied of the Torah de Le'ela, this upper world that's really woven into every single halacha, if you're not aware of that and you're not sensing that, and you're not feeling that, how long will you be able to continue the experience? And I think very often the reason that kids don't even want to come to Israel, sometimes I meet kids in 12th grade, they don't understand why they're coming to Israel. Like, I did Limud HaTorah in high school. I did that. I know what it's about. I got 100 on all the tests, or I got 60s on all the tests. Doesn't make a difference. Like, what am I doing in Israel that I never did? And I wish I could show them this. How many people in high school feel that the Torah de Lesata, all the information that they're learning, is connected to a Torah de Le'ela? That there's a presence of God in here, that there's a sweetness in here that you don't get in anything else you do. That geshmak in learning, it's not just a geshmak of that was brilliant. I'm not talking about a geshmak of, wow, that was an incredible Reb Chaim. That's also a geshmak. I'm talking about a geshmak that the neshama feels that it's actually connecting with the infinite. The neshama was carved out kiviyachol. It's a chelek eloka mimal. And the neshama is always striving to go back to its source. And if it doesn't feel that in Torah it's going back to its source, where is it going to feel? When will the neshama ever feel I've finally been able to reconnect? So what Rav Kook is asking that we do is take every single thing that you're doing in Torah and link it up, connect it with this Torah de Le'ela, understand that it's coming from this Ratzon Hashem, this ultimate truth that now happens to be manifesting itself in the halacha that you're learning. And if you realize that experience, that means every Talmud Torah experience is that you're going to be your neshama connected. It's not just your mind grasping the ideas. Your neshama is going to be connecting. It's going to feel at ease. It's going to feel at home in Torah. You're going to feel like, how am I ever going to want to separate myself from this? Like a baby who never wants to separate from its mother. But if Torah for you is just the information, then your neshama isn't going to allow you to continue. This is a big chiddush that I learned in Rav Kook. Ultimately, what's going to drive you away from Talmud Torah is your neshama. I think that Rav Kook would look at a lot of kids who have gone off the derech today and say they're not doing because they were Rishayim. Their neshamas were thirsty for something more. And what did they see? What Judaism did they have? What Judaism were they exposed to? They were exposed to a ton of do's and don'ts, and you have to be in minyan, and you have to sit through shul, and you have to learn this sugya. I'm not saying necessarily I would do things differently. I don't want anyone to think I'm being critical of the whole American yeshiva system or the world yeshiva high school system. I'm just saying that it's very difficult to expose to a young kid, a high schooler, a teenager, who's just learning the ropes in Limud HaTorah, it's very difficult to expose that inner meaning to him or her. So what does the neshama do when it feels that Torah is empty? It's the neshama that's going to drive you away. Your search for spirituality is going to lead you way off. So Rav Kook is saying what we need to do is we have to involve ourselves in an avoda. That avoda is taking every single thing we learn and somehow connecting it with Torah de Le'ela. Now on a very high level, I think there's a way to actually take the details that you're learning and infuse them with some hidden meaning. On a very high level, I think Rav Kook is asking us that we start to think along the lines, this information that I'm learning, what hidden truth is there in it? Like, what's the meaning behind it? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam command us this way, not that way? It's a very advanced stage. I don't think in Shana Aleph for sure, and even where I'm holding, I don't think that's what Rav Kook is asking us to do, but he's saying that's what you should be striving for. You should be striving to reach the level of the Anshei HaSgula, where every single thing in Torah is an envelope. It's a container for some godly truth, because only that way will the neshama feel its satisfaction in learning Torah. If it doesn't feel it in Torah, you know where it starts to look? Do I have to go into details? If the neshama isn't finding its ability to escape the physical reality in Torah, so where does it start to look? It'll start to look in drugs and other kinds of relationships. If it's not feeling that relationship with God, it's going to look in other relationships. And it's going to try things. And it's going to experiment. It's going to be knocking on your insides, constantly driving you to look for something else. Life has to be about more. And if it does feel it in Torah, if the neshama is connecting through Torah, then it's not going to need all those other outlets. If it's not connecting through Torah, if Torah is just the information, then your neshama is going to feel so empty at the end of the Seder. So it's our obligation to make sure that the Torah dilatata, the lower Torah, that means this, the pages, the words, are always connected conceptually in our heads. We have this awareness that it's really like the outside. It's like the mashal of the Balatanya that I've quoted several times this year. When you hug the Melech, why do you feel a closeness to the Melech? Because you know that the Melech is within. Ah, you're really only hugging his garments. It's only the threads on his cloak. The closeness is from the fact that those threads are housing the king, they're clothing the king. So for us, the Torah needs to be that way. We have to drive into our minds, and even more importantly, our hearts, that the Torah is the clothing of the king. And every time we come to embrace it, we're actually having a relationship with the king. The more you do that, the more your neshama is going to be driven. Your neshama is going to sense, this is the source of my existence. It's like twins. They say that twins like have this awareness of each other that could be on two sides of the world. So God and the Jewish people are called Ta'omim and Shirashir. Because we have this hidden connection that we're constantly trying to feel. I want to feel connected to my beloved. I want to feel connected to God. So if you see it in Torah, you're constantly going to be drawn to Torah. But if Torah for you is just that outer shell, if it's just the Rambam and the Ravid and no more, it's just like a mathematical equation. So what's going to drive you to do that for life? What's going to drive you to stay committed to that? I think the number one reason that people stop learning Torah is because they see it as just a very technical chachma, and they don't realize this is my home. They don't feel the umbilical cord connected. The more you realize that the Torah de Lesata is a clothing of the Torah de Liela, that means the infinite godliness is within. God has given us the Torah because it encases this infinite life. And every word has within it that infinite life. So my infinite life, the Neshama Kedosha, will feel drawn, almost like a magnet. This, according to Rav Kook, this is how you create Ahavas HaTorah. It's not just doing it again and again. If you do it again and again, but you have a warped view of what it is, you're never going to really fall in love with it. If your neshama realizes that this is my home base, this is my chiyas, I'm connecting with the Noam HaElyon, there's a pleasure that I only find in Torah, then it's something you're going to remain dedicated to for life. We should all be zayich.